Hello and welcome to another podcast from The Practical Medium, and I'm Michelle, the medium that is sometimes practical, but never on time, much less reliable. Just kidding. Well, when it comes to putting out a podcast, I guess you could say. So, I didn't do my annual Halloween podcast because I just didn't have a moment to get around to it. I've been working like a, just nonstop and haven't had a lot of excess energy. So, I'm sitting here tonight. And I'm working, and I'm fighting with my chair slipping down the center post because the lock mechanism for the spring keeps, you know, slowly releasing. I need to get a pipe clamp to stop that, but I don't have a pipe clamp. Gotta go out to Walmart, man. And my arm is annoyed. My shoulder's annoyed. My elbow's annoyed. My hand's annoyed from all the writing. It's telling me to take a break. And then all of a sudden, I got a spike in my head. You know, you should focus on doing a podcast because you need to do it. You know, just crap like that. But that's life as a medium who just, you know, when your idle brain goes idle, you get stuff dropping in when you least expect it. Anyway, so now that I've done blathering, tonight is I'm going to do a belated Halloween story stuff. And I'm going to go there. What I mean by going there is I'm going to pull up a Reddit post and I'm going to read out comments out loud and I'm going to give insight as to what was really going on while people were being freaked out. In the meantime, I have the fabulous John Boy with me. He's here for another visit while his mom goes and does her mineral stuff in different places around the Midwest. And if I have to pause because I have to get after him, well, that's why. But during the recording, what I'm going to do, and if people, is just, I'm going to make pauses so I can track where I'm at. Because there's one post that was about a month ago in the paranormal subreddit that had a lot of good juicy stuff in it. So I'm going to try to make use that one post, and I will link it in the description for the podcast. But I can tell right now that I'm going to be needing to clear my throat frequently, so. And I'll be stopping, pausing to look for stuff in the thread frequently. So there'll be jump cuts. That's all I'm saying. And I'm going to address that for a second. Why I tell you why I am doing something. And that's because I'm autistic. When you're an autist, you need context for the world around you. And when you are trying to explain something to somebody and you get a puzzled look on their face, you're not sure if what you're saying makes sense to them or if you're giving the whole story. Or if you're leaving something out and you don't realize it. Sometimes it's a mix of all three. So in that regard, that's why I let you guys know what to expect. So you're not going, what is wrong with her? And it's not wrong. It's just technical difficulties or something that I'm trying to do. In the meantime, I am currently sitting above my microphone by a good 10 inches. And we'll see if I get closer to the microphone as I speak. So if there's a change in the volume, the seat is sinking, and I haven't noticed it yet. On that note, I'm going to do the first pause, pull up my post, and we'll start going. Maybe. Alrighty. So the title of this post is, As a Correctional Officer, I've Had Tons of Experience. I will read out his first, I'm pretty sure it's a guy, the first paragraph to give the basis for why he's writing this. So he goes, I've worked as a correctional officer for a long time. I've worked at facilities in Texas and Michigan. The oldest prison I ever worked at just recently started to close in Michigan, and it got me thinking about all the paranormal experiences I've had in there and in the other prisons I've worked at. I'd like to share with all of you some of the more notable paranormal experiences that I have had working in these prisons. Now, I'm going to sidetrack for a second because that's what I do. And talk a bit about why the certain places, especially hospitals and prisons, are such hotbeds of paranormal activity. And that's because a lot of energy resides, I'm not sure which word you want to use, stays there. Even though the person that created it might be long gone, the residual energy is strong there. And because they're both places of joy and pain, and I'd say hospitals are more pain than not, and I hate to put it like that, but they're not happy places, and that's why people don't like being in them. And the same with prisons. They tend to draw attentions from stuff that likes to feed off of it. And it's not, how do I put it, it's not the greatest. So that's, but they're just hotbeds because of that reason. People leave behind stuff, and then it attracts other things that they don't want anything to do with. And I mean, I can think of, okay, I'm going to sidetrack for a moment. Somebody on my Facebook who is also sensitive was working at a hospital. This is years ago, and she posted about seeing a pair of pants or leg. They were, I think, pretty sure a pair of jeans. That's it. Walking down a hallway. Like there was enough there to manifest the genes and the action of walking, or maybe it was somebody's lower torso that was brought in and remember it was still walking around the hospital. I don't know. I never asked her more detail, but that she just saw that walking in a hospital, and there's other crazy shit that gets in hospitals. So, it's yeah, weird. Okay, I'm going to pause again for a moment and pull up to see what's juicy in this thread to talk about next. Alrighty, he starts out by saying, "First off, I'd like to say that I never really believed in ghosts before I started working as a correctional officer. As somebody who lives this life, quelle surprise, or quelle surprise, depending on your pronunciation." He goes on to say, "I started off working in Texas as an intake facility." He worked night shifts, 12 hours, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., a prime time for this shit to happen. "The first experience I ever had was working on a lower security housing unit. When finishing around, I was chatting with my partner and I heard a loud banging sound. It was like 3 a.m. at this point. No prisoners should be out of their bunks. I asked my partner if they knew what the banging was. They, being an older officer, told me bluntly that the unit we were working in was haunted." Ooh. "They told me the sound was coming from a door of one of small quiet cells in a hallway not directly visible from the officer station, and about how a prisoner had died in one." I apologize for my stiltedness here. It's kind of lacking in punctuation. "The prisoner allegedly died because the officers working there at the time had given them a sack of food, and it was lunchtime for prisoners, and the prisoner had choked on the food and died. I really didn't believe that the unit was haunted, so I decided to go look at the door. The sound volume increased as I got closer to the door. The door itself was visibly shaking if somebody was pounding on it. There was nothing there that could have been causing the door to shake like it was. I was at a loss for words. Later that night, I checked the door again, and there was a steamed-up handprint visible on the glass of the door's window." Okay, so now that is classic Halloween ghost story. But I will say this much, that Halloween ghost stories have a basis in reality, and this guy was posting long before Halloween started. It's like we go, I think it was the beginning of October when I read it, but I could be wrong. And what this is, as I'm looking into it, it's somebody's death state. They haven't gotten over how they died because choking on food is just, one, it's an awful way to go. Two, had somebody been paying attention to them, and not writing off the noise, he probably would have lived. And that's what he's thinking in his head. And three, the handprint is just how much trauma this guy is still carrying that he's able to leave, as he's able to generate enough heat or electricity or steam, take your pick, it's all energy, to create a handprint on the window. Now, you wouldn't have seen, from a technical detail point of view, I'm told you wouldn't see like any kind of fingerprint ridges or anything like that. Just the memory of it's the memory of the handprint is how it's being put to me. So yeah, it's scary as crap. There's no denying it. And if you don't have a sense of what's going on like I do, you'd be freaked out too. So yeah, I understand why that this sounds like a spoopy Halloween story, but it really, I'm getting inside detail, and this happened, and. But it's something that's common, believe it or not, because it's something that people who are in a death state can get agitated enough or angry enough and generate the energy to do this. It's just something that happens. And excuse me. So let me pause and scan the next section here. Okay, I'm going to preface this one by saying that you know how the dead like to troll the living? This is a classic case. All right, so another experience I had was at the same facility but at a different housing unit. It was around 1 to 2 a.m., and I was sitting inside the officer station watching the cameras and talking to my partner. I look at one of the cameras and clearly see a prisoner sitting at a table in the day room. I turn my head to look at the day room, and no one is sitting at the table I just saw on camera. I ask my partner to go check it out because no one is supposed to be out of bed yet. I roll back the time on the camera and to see if I could see where the prisoner might have gone. The prisoner on the camera slowly fades away and vanishes completely. My partner comes back into the officer station. We both watch this video over and over. Later on that same night, during one of my rounds, I notice a wet floor sign that got out. I return it to the porter closet. I get back to the officer station and look to where the porter closet is and see the same wet floor sign left out. I ask my partner if they are playing a joke on me or something because I just put the sign away. Partner denies doing anything with it. I go back out and make sure I put the sign back in the closet and lock the door. Get back to the officer station, wet floor right sign right there in the open again. My partner and I are both watching this wet floor sign now. It starts to tip over in one end and very slowly two of its legs off the ground. The sign then slams itself into the ground and then proceeded to slide quickly up the hallway and back in front of the closet door before ceasing all movement. My partner and I refused to come out of the officer station for the rest of the night because we were scared shitless. Don't blame him. I mean, I haven't been watching paranormal TV shows for a long time, but I remember in Ghost Adventures, they were at Zach Bagans was challenging somebody who was dead to knock over pieces of lumber he set up. And you know, this guy was just like, yeah, whatever, fuck you, push it over. Anyway, in this instance, I can tell you that the two things of the guy sitting showing up on the camera are and the wet floor sign are two separate incidents. There's two separate things. The guy on the video was a residual memory of that was there. I'm not sure if it feels like it's the building, you know, is creating this or time shifting. There's something quite, you know, out of sync here. That's not it's not an actual person sitting there in the sense that they're seeing a ghost. It's just something messing at the time, like an eddy in time is just dropped in my head. All right. Now, the wet floor sign is somebody who is taking advantage of their ability to mess with the guards. And they were, this person was able to, had enough strength to screw around with the sign, to move it, to slide it up the hall, and make it move around. But these things stop because they lose their steam. It's hard to do this stuff, and they gin themselves up by getting themselves angry or, you know, whacked out or whatever, and just screw with people. And it's scary. I'm not going to say it's not, but in the long run, it's kind of, it's harmless because apart from the fact that you get a jump scare, nothing's going to come of it. Anyway. Now, this guy talks about seeing the prisoner on the video coming back and forth and repeatedly, but I think it was mentioned in the comments. They could not do anything. They couldn't record the video on their phone or something because it would be violating the prison's rules and you lose your job for that kind of stuff. So, you know, if people want to question that and why there's no video, I'm pretty sure that's remembering what I read. So, all right, another one. Let me scroll down here since I'm in the same section. One more notable one for Texas. I was working in an ADSEG unit, really high security unit for prisoners that get in fights and cause a lot of problems repeatedly. We had a prisoner who was sitting in one of our close observation cells. These cells are usually used for people who threaten harming themselves. In the summertime, prisoners will sometimes just say they are suicidal to be put in one of these cells because they are a lot cooler and are near AC vents that the normal housing units don't have. This prisoner told me that this is what they were doing and they didn't want to cause any problems. Later on that night, one of my partners and I were watching cameras and all of a sudden we see a shadow moving across the floor. Eventually it came close to the observation cell and disappears under the door. Oh God, okay. This is where it gets a little crazy. I do a round and check on the close observation cell. The prisoner is pacing in the cell. I ask him if they're okay. They're okay. And the prisoner tells me that something doesn't feel right and that they're hearing voices aren't here. I try to calm them down, eventually do, and they lay on the bed. Later on, my partner calls for assistance because the prisoner had bit the skin on their own wrists, causing them to bleed, held them above their hands, and allegedly was speaking in tongues. Was this a possession? No, but as I'm reading this, I got the intel of what happened. Somebody was settling a grudge. So they feel like they were aware in the sense of the living prisoner, but they weren't acquainted in life. However, this living prisoner pissed off the dead one, so the dead one decided to go after him and see how he could manipulate him. Now, it's not possession because, you know, the prisoner had, you know, somebody thrown a bucket of water, cold water on him, he would have woken up and he would have been fine. But it, you know, the creature, it's not a creature, it's an old prisoner that died, that doesn't want to leave the prison, was annoyed at him taking advantage of something that he didn't have, he shouldn't have had been allowed to do. So he messed with the prison rules and made him pay for it. And maybe it was a one-time thing, maybe it's happened again, but there's, you know, it's something that, it's like, how do I say it? We get pissed off when people bend and break the rules in life and act obnoxiously. Same thing with dead. That doesn't really change much. Okie dokie. So that's a brief insight on that one. There's nothing more to it. These stories are, the what's on the other side, the information, the intel is brief because there's no real deep thought. There is no real deep context. It's just people who were prisoners in this prison and don't want to leave or don't feel they can leave, or they feel like paying the misery forward. So it's really surface level emotional thinking. Good stuff, huh? All right, now we on to his next one when he went to Michigan. So when I started working at prisons in Michigan, I worked at a prison that's now closing. It was built back in 1877 as one of the oldest prisons still operating in all the United States. There were so many small experiences that I've had here. Doors would slam, you'd hear voices, cold chills. The first really notable experience I had was around Christmas time on third shift. I was working the oldest unit on the facility, and usually we don't have prisoners there, but we had opened the unit to separate prisoners during the COVID pandemic. I didn't have a partner because of how short staffed we were, so one of the other officers set up a TV to keep me entertained because I had been really far away from all the other units. I would be, excuse me, really far away from the other units and get bored with no one to talk to. I do rounds for most of the night watching TV in between them. I suddenly hear a banging noise from a door that leads to a hallway that takes you all the way to an even older, unused, condemned part of the prison. I open the door and take a look down the hallway. A cold breeze hits me and suddenly my arm hairs stand on end. Ooh, electricity. I close the door, thoroughly creeped out. I go down and sit down watching TV again. The TV starts flipping through channels rapidly and then stops on static. I have to get moved to a different unit because I'm scared shitless. Again, trolled. And yeah, it's really it. I have to pause because John Boy's starting to get into trouble and I need to kick kitty butt. Be right back. Okay, and a brief aside. No, I didn't kick his butt. He just gets frustrated and his way of chewing ice cubes when he's frustrated is to test gravity. Not a big deal. I don't care because there's nothing for him to knock down that I'm worried about getting damaged except for my beads on my crafting table because he knocks that stuff over. It's a pain in the butt to clean up. So I just wanted to make sure he couldn't mess with things. And now he's sitting there about 10 feet away from me all sulking like the child he is. Oh well. Okay, back to the to the flipping of the TV. I have talked about this myself in terms of being messed with. If you've been listening to me since the early days, you know about the Roku, you know about my phone getting messed with and stuff like that. And this guy just happened to experience that in a very spooky setting. And the feeling I also get, and it's just kind of a ticklish, so it's not real strong, but whoever trolled him was enjoying the peace and quiet of that wing before they reopened it. And it's like, he knew it was not going to last, but, well, may as well have some fun anyway, right? Nah. Jerk. So, moving on to the last story here. And I'm going to read some of the comments because there's some good stuff in the comments, too. On my third day, my work friend and I were working positions that allowed us to have a lot of free time and no prisoners to watch. We decided to explore the prison. We explored the tunnels that went underneath the prison, the old barns, the unstaffed gun towers. We eventually decided to go look at the old condemned part of the prison from my earlier experience. There is a big metal gate that was about halfway down the hallway that had to be opened by a big skeleton key. Spooky. We get back to the old condemned part, and my friend tells me about how this part was supposed to be the old segregation unit. We had to use flashlights to see because the section is so old, it's not powered. The energy back there I won't ever forget. Just being there filled me with a sense of dread, and I get the feeling of people from the 1900s are clustered here. I ask my friend to head back, and we start to head back down to where the hallway gate was. the hallway to the gate was. My friend's flashlight suddenly dies. Yeah, because it's being tapped for energy. We make it to the hallway, barely able to see anything in the almost pitch blackness. We hear something running after us, so we start running up the hallway too. My friend fumbles the key with the key as we hear it getting closer. We get the gate open and sprint out of there. Later on, I notice that my friend had red claw marks over his arms. Yeah, that one is nasty. There's somebody who really did not want them exploring in there and was not about to hesitate to let them know. The energy for the claw marks came from siphoning off the flashlight. And again, that's a little scarier because there was physical injury and it's a little more like a horror story than not. But this is one of those things where their fear overtook their ability to turn to round on the dead and say, no, not today. And not ever, you know, and exert their physicality over the dead. And that's when you get afraid of the other spooky stuff. And it's understandable. I'm not judging. But when fear is obvious, they take advantage. They take advantage of it. And if they're nasty people like what are in prisons, they attack. So fortunately, that's all they got out of it was red claw marks. But yeah. Okay, so that's some insight to round out what the other side of what's going on with these types of stories, because we're blind as humans. People are blind, rather, because they don't realize that we're trained to not think that the other side is real or it's fantasy or it's imagination, and when we're actually confronted by it, it goes against our everything we have been taught, and we freak out and panic because flight or fight. Oh my God, I apologize. I stumble over my words. Flight or fight kicks in, and you're not thinking rationally. You're reactive. And it's part of being human. Nothing really to do about it. But try not, when confronted by this stuff, if you're not like me, who's used to it and not really bothered by the attempts of the dead to mess with her, you know, just do your best. But don't get after yourself for being scared. I'm taking the piss here a little bit and being a little ha-ha, but that's me. So, when somebody's confronted by this, just try to turn the tables on it. Alrighty, I didn't have to do too many pauses here, but I'm going to scroll through the comments to see, because there was some people posting in here that was interesting. And I have to scroll down a little further, so. All right, here we go. I'm an RN, and this is a different poster. And I'm an RN at one of the Michigan State prisons. I, too, experience weird things in our clinic area. I have seen someone walking into our med room that I swear was another nurse. I thought she wasn't working that day, but excited to see her. No one there. The area I worked on midnight shift, I knew every door sound that would close, everyone's footsteps, knew who would be around at count time. Yet the footsteps with either a key or belly chain sound was always unique. Named him Fred. Me and two others would listen for him. Yeah, and that's somebody who's dead, who is benign, and is just doing their routine, and doesn't care about the living, and they're just stuck in prison life. Not even their death state. They're just stuck in that life and don't know how to leave it. And that's why people, you know, like psychic mediums are called upon to move people home, or send them home, because the dead person doesn't know they're dead, or they don't want to acknowledge something, and they don't feel like they can go home. There's any number of reasons. Yeah, but so with the living, you just learn to deal with it and go. And it's almost comforting after a while to know that somebody's so reliable, and even in death, is so reliable to keep showing up. And yeah, they don't do anything. They sound spooky, but then you get used to it, and you almost miss them when they're not there. Anyway, okay, I think this is where I get into the better stuff. All right, somebody who's currently working in a prison. So, I work in a prison and weird things happen on the night shift. Black figures running down the halls on camera, seeing a black face in an empty cell, clocks flying out the walls, footsteps behind you and no one was there, something touched my hair, I can't work night shift anymore. And, yeah, that's just kind of what goes on in prisons with the dead. It's a playground for nasties. And, you know, it's like challenge accepted, I guess you could say, for what a lot of these incidences, like a clock flying off a wall. Well, let's see if we can do that. You know, it's like, and you don't have the physical sense of force like you used to, because you're not dense anymore. So you have to work at trying to figure out how much energy is needed to make something move. And, well, you things fly off the walls, and et cetera, et cetera. And then you have, black figures running down the halls. Well, that's chasing somebody else and, like replaying a murder scene or something. Good stuff, I know. And blackface in an empty cell. And I think in that regard, it's like, black is an ink black, from what I'm saying. And that's just trick of the light, so to speak. The intention of the person behind that face, from what I'm reading, they were trying to make him look like the Wicked Witch mirror kind of thing, but didn't get far enough. Yeah, okay. But sure, I'm sure it scares people. So, yeah. Let's see. Let me scroll down. All right, now this one's a little spookier. And there's good reason why. And it's because it's something that doesn't belong there. And the post is, I'm a former CO2. I would always feel like something was following me when I was doing my rounds. In a pod full of adult males, I once heard a little girl cry out, Mommy. There is any number of reasons for that. It could have been the jail was built on land where a family once lived, and they all died. Why am I thinking they all died of a settler's disease like cholera or something? I don't know why I'm getting that information, but I just am, so I'm repeating it. I think that in this case, the land was not cleansed, which who cleanses land unless you know that the land needs to be cleansed. And the activity of a jail on top of it just kind of stimulates the further activity of the people that used to live there and haven't moved on. Or sometimes this happens, it's a memory of the earth that just gets spit up. Any number of reasons. But there was once somebody, a family living there. And I know I'm sounding like the dead Amy from the Dead Files, but that's, occupied land. Land is almost never unoccupied. And it remembers things. All right, so let me skip to the next story in the same thing. There was a segregated unit that an inmate committed suicide in. Whenever I checked this unit at night, it was ice cold and I felt like something was watching me. Doors would slam. The female unit inmate said something would walk around the pod when the on-duty was guard. Yeah, predator. I would see shadows dart across the room out of the corners of my eye. And they make a comment, prisons are full of negative energy and sadness, therefore they are a hotbed of paranormal activity. And that right there, folks, is somebody who gets it. Whether they want to be a skeptic or somewhere in between, they make this blanket statement that says, yeah, this is what's going on. They're nasty places. And the unit that he talks about with this inmate, yeah, the inmate's still there. And I don't feel a connection with the female unit inmates, but that is a creepy stalker who's so into their shit of being a pervert that their energy is being felt by the people, by the living, and it doesn't feel good. It's very squicky, and that's what these inmates were feeling. So, all right. I am scrolling down a little bit to see what's next. Okay. Former CO, the unit I mainly worked was also haunted. We had a spirit that committed suicide in one of the cells. Sometimes I'd walk by and get chills. Other times I could hear him walking up and down the stairs when I had a clear view of the entire unit. All the prisoners would lock down and there was no one there. Things would move around on their own. That's kind of garden variety haunting. Somebody can't move on. And they're agitated enough and their energy strong enough to make themselves felt, seen, heard, yada yada. Another time I heard whispers right by my ear in a hallway. Troll. I've seen shadows, heard screams from empty cells, footsteps. Now, stuff like that is not conscious in the sense that whoever's doing it or is conscious of where they are doing it at, if that makes sense. They're reliving something. And they're blind to everything else except for that moment. They're not doing it to freak people out. It's just more obvious when things are quiet in a facility than when there's a lot of activity. So, yeah, it's scary crap because it does, when you hear stuff like this, it does feel mindless. Alrighty. When it's the middle of the night and everyone is locked down and sleeping, the whole place gets a weird, creepy vibe that can't be ignored. Again, see above. It's just quieter, so the stuff that can't be detected when human activity is at its busiest is noticeable. Alright, then he makes a comment that, I didn't quit for that reason, but I'm glad I'm no longer a CO. If any place is haunted, it has to be a prison. It's a horrible place to die, and his spirits assume they're still locked in and have no way out. And in some cases, that is very true. It's like when ghost hunters go to the insane asylums, it's the same thing. And hospitals, same thing. People don't realize that they can leave. And because they're so in their shit, they're stuck in it, that they can't get out until somebody opens up a doorway for them, which is opening up the white light, and telling them, you're free, go. And even then, it's hard to convince them. So, let's see, what's the next good one? I'm going to pause because this is going to take a moment for me to find something. All right, and I'm at the half-hour mark when I usually cut it off, but there's still some good stuff to talk about, so I'm just going to work this one out. All right, now, this is not a CO, but I am an amateur historian and a drone pilot, and when a business is slow, I combine the two interests by taking pictures and videos of historically significant old buildings. I haven't done any prisons, but institutions in general have a lot of activity. Pardon me while I take a breath here. I've become used to it. None of it surprises me anymore. My sensitivity is mostly tactile, and I'm going to have to pause here for a quick moment because, yeah, it's a little rude to burp on stream, especially as a woman, right? Right. Okay, so my sensitivity is mainly tactile. I don't often see spirits except possibly for quick glances out of the corners of my eye, but I feel them. I also get mild bruises from them, very minor bruises that don't go away for a very long time. I still have some on my legs from kid ghosts who excitedly wrapped themselves around my legs almost 2 years ago. Now, the bruises are real and the cause is real, but I think that there is something systemic going on, and this is just intel, that they've got an underlying health condition that's causing the bruises to not heal properly. And that can be anything. But it's like, when you are bruised and scratched or scraped by somebody who's dead, there's no magical power. It's just energy, electricity, take your pick. And your body should heal on this. Well, and most people, they'll say that the scratch is lingering around longer than normal scratches. But sometimes, that will happen. I won't deny that. However, for 2 years, that's indicative of something else going on. It's not ghostly energy constantly reopening the wounds, or some magical power making them last longer. That's a human issue. So he winds up by saying, like you, I didn't really believe any of this till I witnessed it myself, but I didn't disbelieve it either. I just never gave it much thought. Having actual experiences, especially when verified by others, tends to change your mind very quickly. Uh-huh. All right, let's see if I can, alrighty, is there anything more? Let me pause because, again, I have to dig. All right, I have two more to go through here because they're good ones, and then we'll wrap it up. So this one, I also work at a jail, though I'm the mental health therapist there. I've lost count of the number of people who have described seeing shadow people in that jail. These are not inmates that are mentally ill. I would know. I'm the one, because since I'm the one who works with them and can diagnose them. Several guards have seen them as well. Typical hallucinations from individuals who have schizophrenia tend to differ from one person to the next. Schizophrenics seldom ever have identical hallucinations. They are unique to the individuals themselves. The fact that so many different people have described an identical entity in that jail with slight variations has convinced me that there is, in fact, something there that they are witnessing. I love this comment because it highlights the difference between sensitivity and schizophrenia. And it's by a professional. It's been is a mental health therapist, and they nail it. They say it better than I ever could because they have firsthand experience with schizophrenia and know the difference firsthand. The thing about these issues with in prisons where everybody sees it, it's a common, and I've talked about this before, it's commonalities. It's what everybody has seen. You have different variations because, as the saying goes in police investigations, you'll have multiple people who witnessed an event, but they are at different perspectives and they will have slightly different stories. And that's how you know the truth of the story, is because there's variations. It's basically the E equals MC squared, Einstein's theory of relativity in action. And if the Einstein's theory of relativity is based on a train coming into a station, but there's a woman on the platform, I think it is, a man, and or there's a woman and a man. One is on the platform, one is in the train. A lightning bolt strikes as the train is coming into the station. Both the woman and the man will see the lightning strike, but have two entirely different perspectives. And that is the basic explanation of E equals MC squared. That's how he came up with the equation, that two people witnessing the same event will have slightly different perspectives. And that applies here, in that multiple people have the same thing, but slightly different stories. Schizophrenia is just, you know, would not have that at all. It's just somebody's internal dialogue, basically. So that's why I love that comment, and that's why I brought it up, because it highlights what I'm always talking about. And, all right, one more. I'm going to pause for a moment, and we'll kind of come full circle with that whole perspective thing, because somebody posted and asked if it was, let me roll back up here, if it was RMI in Ionia, Michigan, and that they had an experience when they worked there. And the original poster comes back and says, crazy that you knew exactly what I was talking about. And that same commenter comes back and posts up, I remember working I-2 segregation one day on first shift and sitting in my chair around 0600, and I looked down the rock, or maybe the block, and saw an inmate walk out of a cell. I didn't think anything of it until I remembered that it's segregation and no inmates should be out of their cell, and that it's 6 o'clock in the morning and there's no movement going on yet. The hair on my arm stood up. If that place could talk, the stories it would tell would be unbelievable. I never got to see the old condemned segregation in the basement, but I was there when they closed G Ward. So OP comes back and says, yeah, I'm from the reformatory too. I've seen tons of stuff like that too. So, full circle. Again, people who have seen the same thing or similar things reporting about it. And so I'm going to wrap this up because there's not a really whole lot left to talk about in this one. But again, I will post it up for people to click through and read. And I will put it on my subreddit. And for all of those, if it's like there's some people, I think somebody's commented in there. And I apologize. I just never got around to checking in because I go from day to day, like, you know, swinging from rope to rope, and maybe I'll catch the next one before I have to go to sleep and start the cycle again. So, yeah, it's tiresome. And I think that's part of why I got the comment, you need to work on your podcast. Okay, so here I am. Anyway, I'm very facetious and obnoxious, probably because I need to cut loose a little bit. So on that note, that's pretty much, I think what I'm going to do in the future is that I will, there's a thread on allnursing.com. If it's still around, I have to look for it. I read this years ago. So this thread might still be around, it might not, or I'll look up some hospital stuff because it has its own unique aspects that don't relate to prison stuff, but they do, how do I put it? They do highlight the life, you know, life after death stuff. And nurses are on, they work with people who are on the verge of passing and do pass. So they have a different perspective of, you know, life after death, because they guide people out of life all the time. They also guide people in life, but guiding them out's a little more traumatic, even though, you know, it's like, for them, it's a part of their job. It's a part of life. It still has some trauma to watch somebody pass or know that they're passing, and, you know, stuff, the stuff that surrounds them, the people that are passing, that is. So on that note, thank you for tuning in once again. And I only went 10 minutes over my usual amount of time, so hopefully I didn't bore your ears off. And thank you for coming back and listening once again. As always, love y'all. You're wonderful. And I appreciate you coming and listening in and checking me out and hearing what I have to say. So on that note, until the next time, and since I'm in the mood lately, I'll see about looking up some good nursing stories. Or if you have something you'd like me to share and give you some insight on, don't hesitate. Email me. And if you don't mind it being put in the podcast, I will be more than happy to do that for you. And, you know, obviously keep names out of it, but and focus more on what happened. So, again, on that note, before I start repeating myself, because I am so good at that, y'all take care. Hope everybody has survived this weird weather we're having because it's 70 degrees on November 2nd in Chicago. What? And doing their things and getting ready for the upcoming holidays. And I promise I'll have at least one more out before the holidays. Y'all take care.